Hey, welcome to another episode of A to Z, you guys. My name is Zero Remsen. To my right or left, depending on how I edit this, is Aaron Chase. He'll be your resident yin. I'll be your resident yang. That just is a fun, quirky way of me saying that he's going to be the realistic, the pessimistic, the experience, and I'm going to be the naive, rainbow-colored glasses optimist. And somewhere in between both of us, there'll be entertainment. Today, Aaron's got some stuff he wants to share, and so he's gonna do that, and I'm going to get my energy up at some point. You're gonna notice a huge shift in me throughout this hour because I'm fresh off of a nap, for those of you that don't know, and when I'm fresh off of a nap, I'm a little more somber. But anywho, Aaron, go ahead, say your things.
First, man, the first episode of Film Favorites came out on Saturday, and I'm super excited about that.
Fun.
And I hope you watch
Well,
it or listen.
for those that don't know, what is Film Favorites?
We added another podcast to our YouTube with me and Bryce. Bryce is the guy who directed my comedy special thing. And Bryce is like a film fanatic, and he made his top 500 favorite films list. And really put effort into it. Not like the way, not like, oh, just whatever. Like he put years and thought into this. And yeah, he's crazy. And so I wanted, what inspired it was how much do you like Bill Burr, if at all?
I like Bill Burr a lot. I went through a phase of being obsessed with his podcast, but I fell out of like watching it daily. Mostly I wait until somebody else makes like a mega compilation and then I watch the mega compilations. Like I like all the stuff that whenever Nia pops up. I
Yeah.
like some of his conspiracy theories. And yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, just any compilation video I really like. And his stand-up. Obviously his stand-up's amazing.
So I was overanalyzing his stand-up, and I noticed that he just like when it came to his references, the things that he kind of described and talked about, it was always sports or helicopters. It was things he knew a lot about, obviously, right? About what you know. And I was thinking, like, what do I already naturally know a lot about? And I was like, movies. I'm a pretty big movie guy. But then I thought, like, if I could expand my knowledge and the amount of movies I've seen and the eclecticness of the movies, then it might improve me as a comic. And it's just cool to watch movies. So basically, every episode is three films going in descending order. He describes all three. I got to pick one, and if I've seen all three, I can't pick one I've already seen, and watch it. And we discuss it, and it's just interesting. If you like movies, I think it's interesting.
So you said it's a list of 500 movies. Are you starting from the bottom and working up to number one?
Yeah, and I yeah, and it's a secret.
And he's giving you three from the bottom. Of the three at the bottom, you choose one and then move up the list
Yep.
to the next three. So by the time okay, nerd time. Three divided by 500 is, oh no, it's about to show how bad I am at math. 20 is 60, so 12, 3 and 12 is 6, 4. Okay, so like 13, so 13, about 13 episodes, you will have gone through a round of 500. If you're only watching one of three movies.
I don't know. I just watched the movies.
Yeah, that was me nerding on it. But yeah, so around 13, and obviously, again, you said you can't watch movies you've already seen. They have to be new movies.
Yeah, so like one time, spoilers. At some point in there, Osmosis Jones is discussed. Yeah, there's a lot of like, oh shit, was it? I forgot about that on his list. And so Osmosis Jones was discussed, but I had already seen it. So I couldn't pick that movie. And then another movie I hadn't seen, I had to pick.
Okay, and what excites you about that project? Is it just that you're expanding your horizons? Is it just that you like movies? What about it?
We've been working on it for so long in secret because it's a long process to make it. Like we have in order to make this is a podcast that we just like, fuck it, let's just do an hour of talking. Right. Whereas with film favorites, he has to organize the list. We have to like sit down and watch an entire movie. Sometimes the shit I've had to watch 3.5 hour long Polish epics. Inch of weird shit. And so sometimes it's a whole day. It's like a day of work. And so it took us a really long time to finish season one. It's going to literally take us years to finish the entire podcast. So we just put up season one, and we're going to be starting recording season two on Monday.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the format of it is it all audio? Is it audio, video?
It's all audio.
Okay.
Yeah. You should listen to, please listen to the first episode and let me know what you think.
I'll listen to the first episode.
All right. Sure. But the stuff that I really wanted to get into was, okay, so here we go. The Trump, COVID, stand back, stand down, all that stuff.
Actually, time out before we get into that. Your dad went to your show recently. How was that?
Yeah. Okay. I'll talk about that first. And Valerie, we will keep it up. If you're still here, maybe she's still here.
I'm checking. Yeah, she's still here.
Have you watched listened to film favorites? I hope you have. Okay. Anyway, my dad, he showed up with a friend of his, was in Claremont, and it was really cool. It was interesting because it felt like my dad, felt like my dad met me for the first time.
Oh.
Like, really, like, as time has gone by, I've kind of shown a little more of who I am. But when I'm on, you've seen the street stand-up, so you know kind of what you can't really fake the funk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when you do stand-up, when you do it for like 5 to 10 minutes and you have material and you're in a comedy club, it's one thing. But when you're on the street riffing for an hour and some change, you can't really, it's harder to put walls up. So it felt like in a really extreme way, my dad got to see kind of who I am, who I've become at this point. And he seemed, I couldn't even look at him through most of it. I talked to him, I brought him up a little bit and I talked to him a little bit, but I couldn't.
Yeah, because you have that bit about him.
I didn't do it.
You didn't do that bit?
I was thinking about it, and then I was like, you know what? He'll come out again. And I frame it as like, I didn't have a dad, but if he were to be around, like, he's there supporting me. I would reframe it as like, it would be interesting if such and such thing, or I would soften it. I would probably tweak it. But it was just, the support was very nice.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
And did he didn't say anything of note when it was all said and done? Like,
he just,
what was his reaction to it?
He seemed impressed, and he brought his friend I think, because he's seen me perform in general, so he kind of knew like this isn't going to be terrible. And his friend seemed like pretty taken aback at the audacity of what I was doing. He said, man, you're really brave. And it's a little ominous. It was nice. It was just like, it was just nice for him to get that, like, this is what I'm doing and this is not a game. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I would talk to him about it, not that he's never been dismissive about it, but I don't think he understood to the lengths at which I am willing to go and to become successful at this, as well as the trials and tribulations I've had to overcome just to get to this point. And right. I think him seeing that was like, it was kind of eye opening for him.
Mm. Yeah. It was a long time ago now, but like, yeah, I remember. I would say there's like a stepping ladder of like letting the people in your life into the part of your life that's doing comedy. And it's not like a, at least for me. I know for some people, it's like a very clear distinction. I don't want you to see it, or I'm trying to keep this over here, or you'll see it when it's ready and I'm not ready for you to see it or not. I didn't really have that. It's like whenever they're interested, they're fine to come along and see it. But like, it is that weird feeling of like, you kind of know me like off stage, like, you know me. And so when I do the bits, the parts where, like, at least I've gotten this critique, and I don't know if your father did this to you or if other people who knew you outside of stand-up do this to you, but it's like, at the level we're at, and again, humbling, we're nowhere near where we're gonna be, but it's that thing where, like, they see you do it, and they kind of have this, like, oh, like, yeah, you're like, doing it. Like, you're doing it, and you have the ability to do it. It's like an impressed, but also like kind of thrown off. It's like when you learn that your friend is going to be a parent and like, you know them, and it's like, you had a kid. I don't know if I'm okay. And then you watch them like take care of their kid and you're like, oh yeah, you will be a good parent. That's cool. It's like that. Like a lot of my friends, when they see me do stand up and I'm doing well, because again, obviously they've seen me do bad too. But when I'm doing well, they're like, yo, like, I get it. Like, I see it for you. Like, when you're in your groove, there's no way that doesn't turn around for you. And I'm glad that's doing it. And it's nice to feel that support, that, like, people who it doesn't feel like a, what's that thing? Imposter syndrome, when the people who know you see you do it and don't go, like, that's not you, you know? Because, mm-hmm. like, on some level, when we're on stage, you are doing a performance.
Yeah.
But it is, like, trying to be as genuine as you can be. And for some people, again, stand-up ranges in all sorts of ways, the generalization of saying, like, you're being yourself and I'm playing a character. It's like, depends on who you're talking to, but it's all very interesting. Anywho, you wanted to rant about a Trump thing?
No, it's, you know what? I don't know if I would call it a rant as much as it is a realization.
Okay.
On Friday night, so I did Street in Claremont on Saturday, and then I did it in Redlands on Friday. I hadn't been to Redlands in a while, and this was right after people realized that Trump had COVID.
Uh-huh.
And I got, why is Aaron, late night Venice Beach weed man that lives in his van? You know.
That was so specific that I feel like you would have to say that on here to him for that joke to hit. The fact that you had to have him read it and he had like no idea as it was going along. That's like, your thing is too specific. Late 90s, Venice Beach, weed man. There's so many adjectives.
There's so many punches he's coming at me with.
Yeah, it's such a great roast. It's a good bit. Just bad formatting.
Yeah. I go after you right now, Dro, but I'm not watching you and your live stream. All right.
He's the only person here.
What was that? Oh, realization.
Realization.
The first thing is, and as time goes on, the scarier this becomes.
Okay.
Because they really follow this guy's energy. Like, if he's upset, they're upset. If he's, I don't know if Trump feels sadness, mostly upset, but it was like really, it was eye-opening in that I felt bad for most of them. Like,
welcome, brother.
I've always felt bad for them, but it was like there was different archetypes that they've become. They don't have anything to do.
Okay.
Like, we have stand-up comedy and music and the arts and friends. And, like, if we want to say, I don't want to look at the news right now, we can do that. And there's other things in our lives that will give us fulfillment.
Yes.
Well, this is all they have. All of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. You don't mean like all of them, but I get like, yes, a good portion of them. It's very meta. I thought of a, I don't know if I'll ever put it on stage or if, like, what I want to do with it. You know how you have those thoughts that sometimes it's a joke, sometimes it's just a thought. One of the things I was thinking is, like, that same I feel bad for them energy is, like, if you're a Trump supporter, what do you watch other than the news? Because yeah. all of the arts, all of the entertainment, all of the industry that is so, like, clearly left-leaning. It's so clearly, like, anti-Trump that it's like, how can you watch that and not just get angry? Because everyone's like, that guy's stupid. Because it's the arts. Like, are you going to lean more open-minded if you're in the arts? Yeah. Or are you going to be like, nah, I don't like that. Keep it the way. Not that there isn't traditionalism and
yeah.
stuff.
But
you get what I'm saying.
Sorry, I interrupted you, and I had the thought.
the irony.
Yeah, no, it was like deep down. Okay, there was a couple of archetypes I was dealing with. I call him the lumberjack. I made fun of him because he looked like a lumber. He was a big, beefy, bearded man, and he had a Trump hat. He was like the lumberjack, big white truck type of Trumper, right? Okay. There was the internet troll, perv mustache, wearing Hawaiian shirt guy.
Okay.
There was the science and facts and numbers over all, and that is all that matters guy. And then there was the wrong side of the tracks, Sean from Boy Meets World, had a rough upbringing guy, right? I felt so bad for all of them except the troll, because the big beefy dude, all of them, it felt like deep down they knew they were wrong, and and that's why they were getting such a visual reaction to me saying things like, yeah, man, I just want my life to matter.
Yeah.
I've gotten to this place where I'm like, I'm not going to argue with details. Like, you're taking in different information than me. So you're going to try to find holes in everything. And this isn't like, I'm keeping it simple for you. I just want my life to matter. That's all this is about. And every time I would say that, they would, all of them would come at the stereotypical angles that you would think that they would come from, right? So the big buff guy was like, well, you know, I've never experienced racism and I don't understand. He was getting all upset, and you could tell he wasn't mad at me because I was calm. I was just like, okay. All right, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you tried to use the Me Too thing as an example, and I'm not exaggerating. We were recording this. I hope I haven't checked the clip yet. I hope I have it because I want you to see this. I said to him, I was trying to find some way to explain to him my perspective. So I said, all right, man, do you remember the Me Too movement? And I shit you not. He immediately was like, I believe in due process. And I was like, all right. Yeah. Do you remember the Me Too movement? Sometimes people lie and they win. You can't just assume every. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Me Too movement? Like it was such an emotion. Like, you know, and he just wanted to prove to people he was not racist. That's all he was thinking about. Right. And then the overly logical guy was like, well, white people are killed by police. He's a Ben Shapiro.
Were all four archetypes there at the same time?
Same time, all coming at me.
And they were all different. They weren't a part of the same group.
No.
Like, none of them were together.
All completely different. None of them knew each other. And they were all trying to come at me. What they didn't realize was, I'm like their guy. I'm Trump in a weird way. I don't need facts. I don't need figures. I don't need to have answers. All I need to do is be entertaining and funnier than you and dismiss everything you're saying, and I'm going to win. And so everything they did, I kept it. I was like, I don't care about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, it was fascinating. Like, they couldn't see I'm doing the same thing that Trump does to people. All I was, I was just jujitsuing what they were saying. Like, they, the white dude who's like, white people get shot by more, the cliche, white people get killed more by cops than black people, whatever.
Yeah,
you can get into the minutiae of, well, that's the amount of how many amount of people are in the country, yada, yada. But I don't give a shit about that. So all I said was, yeah, man, that's bad.
Yeah.
And they just, they malfunction. Because I think what it is they don't have conversations in real life like that. Whereas I'm constantly dealing with this. So they're watching YouTube videos where people are either affirming their beliefs or they're yelling at a screen and typing against something someone said. But they've never had to deal with an actual speaker on them while they're saying their stupid fucking rhetoric that they're spewing out. But regardless, the science-y guy, the Ben Shapiro type of guy, a buff guy kind of embraced his feelings. Ben Shapiro guy completely ignored emotion and feelings altogether. Mm. And he was all about numbers and figures. And I just kept being like, yeah, man, that's bad. I just agreed. Like, yeah, obviously that's bad. Does my life matter? And he kept trying to, like, you can't numbers and figures something as simple as does my life matter? And so he got shut down. And then the other guy, what's up?
Oh, Lumberjack. You were going back to Lumberjack? Or
no, now I'm going to I'll call him White Trash Guy. I'm Man Bun, Man Bun Guy. So then Man Bun Guy, I got at him, and I kept, like, making fun of them a little bit to make sure that they were kind of, for lack of a better word, kept in their place, that they were, like, calm, you know, that they couldn't, that the audience was on my side because I kept making fun of them. And so the Man Bun Guy, I said something about privilege, and then I said that I went to a private school. And he was like, well, is that not privilege? And I was like, yeah, give me all the I want all of the privilege. I don't know why you're trying to give it away. I'll take it. Give me all the privilege. And I told him, like, that I said, here's a privilege I have. When I walk down the street, nobody wants to rape me. I think that's fair to say. So, like, privilege is fine. And so I took him down. And then there was the last one who I didn't feel bad for was the internet troll guy. So he had this pervy mustache, ridiculous shirt, and he was the type of guy who thought he was funnier than the comedian. Hmm. So he's an internet troll, and in his head, he goes on the internet, and he types up some stuff, and he pisses people off, and that's his idea of humor. But he didn't understand how to do that in real life. So there was a point where he even tried to get off a zinger, and it was awkward. And these other guys come from this, there's even the analytical guys coming from this emotional place, whether he realizes it or not.
Yeah.
This guy is also coming from an emotional place, but there's something pathetic about him. Mm. The end. I talked a lot.
No. I mean, I'm fascinated. I'm interested to see when these clips come out, which, by the way, are you only releasing them on TikTok?
TikTok
and obviously your story.
Yeah.
Okay, see, this one is one that, like, and maybe, I don't know, again, this is just me thinking, like, marketing-wise. If it is the way that you say it is and the breakdown exists the way it is, I'd be interested to see that as a video on YouTube. I want to run it back, but, like, if I run it back via TikTok, like, that just doesn't, it doesn't line up with the branding. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what I'm going to do is take good little moments, put those on TikTok in the story, then longer stretches, put that on YouTube.
Okay, that adds up.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a wasted opportunity if those just come out as TikTok and IG stories.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like even though people have been more, like, weirdly enough, TikTok's short attention span has grown because everything is so short over there. Because most, they're ready for it to be like 5 seconds. When they start watching something that's longer than 5 seconds, they're like, oh, okay, I guess this one's going a little long. And then they'll watch it, I think, about up to like 15:30, and then they got to keep it moving. But, like, yeah, I feel like that would, you get it. Neither here nor there. But that is fascinating. I would be interested to watch those clips. But, yeah, all of those points are very exactly what I've always felt. And it's one of those things where it's like, hate the player and not the game or whatever, where as much as people don't like him, he figured it out. He figured out a thing that people have not realized. And I think that thing is that, and it's a stupid thing that we all kind of know, but nobody uses it. And it's that thing that we learned a long time ago. Emotion supersedes logic every time. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be logical to win, as long as you're the person who's like the more charismatic or energetic or fun. people will follow that. It doesn't matter how much it's horrible or it doesn't make sense. Like, that's what it is. And so it's very interesting to see the, like, the dynamic works on whoever. It's that thing where, for me, you know, my main thing with everybody is, like, we're all the same. And, like, it's interesting to see that, like, the same people who are following him and are like, yeah, that's the thing, and, like, you're just mad because you can't get him, also would have the same visceral reaction that we have towards him if our person, let's say, for lack of a better leader, Joe Biden, was also being kind of like, eh, whatever. Like, eh, whatever. Yeah, okay. And, like, to their points, which, again, it's like you were saying during your breakdown, it's like, it's not to say that some of the things they're saying aren't true.
Yeah.
But it is the thing of, like, first, one is dismissing emotion. The other one is so wrapped up in emotion that it's kind of getting muddled.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not, like, you're so, the interest, I'm very fast, because the Ben Shapiro guy, like, I've seen a good couple of those, and it fascinates me in another way, but in that way that, like, hyper-intelligence always feels like a compensation for not mm-hmm. having spatial energy, mm-hmm. but that's a whole nother thing.
I even made him laugh. I made him laugh. It was so funny. Like, the, sorry, before you get to the lumberjack guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Facts and figures guy, I acknowledge that, like, I recognize you have a bunch of facts and figures. That doesn't matter. Here's what you did. You went on I said something like, you went on Google, you looked up stuff that you agreed with, and you were like, yeah, I'm so right. And then I went on Google, looked up stuff I agreed with, and I was like, yeah, I'm so right. And he cracked up at that. And I just, little moments like that are like, oh, this is why comedy is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But you were going to say,
because it transcends belief in ideology, and it hits on, like, human experience. It's like, yeah, you can believe what you believe. That's more than fine. Whatever religion, creed, whatever you think, that's fine. You have your stuff. At the end of the day, there's something too, again, the meta of, like, it's funny because it's true. Because there's something to, like, when you call somebody out on exactly what they are. Like, and when you so hit it on the nose that they can't deny it, it's like, you got me. You son of a, you got me. Like, that's hilarious. You saw it. You saw me be me. You got me. Like, that's the thing. It transcends logic because it's such an automatic response that he can't help it. Like, that's why laughs are I don't know what to do with this thought. But, like, our career, the trajectory, what we need, what we do, what we're expected to do as comedians is so weird to me because I feel like it's the only job you're forcing on people. Like, it's the only job where the audience expects you to make them do something.
That, like, is involuntary.
Yeah. It's like, you have to trigger that thing in me that I can't control. You need to make me laugh. It's like, you go to a play, and, like, it's okay if they don't make you cry. It's okay if they don't, like, freaking move you. It's like, you would like to be moved, but if you're not, you're not mad. But if you go to a comedy show and they don't make you laugh, you're upset. It's like, there's no other career that's like, you didn't make me feel. And it's like, okay, because I'm, it's kind of to harken back to Bill Burr, and if you, like, I assume you're a big fan, then you've heard him say this multiple times. It's that thing where it's like, well, the thing I said comes out of me and gets cut by your childhood, like, that whole thing. It's like, and that's why it's so meta that our thing is so looked down upon in some ways. There's not a respect for it, which is weird because we're asked to do one of the most crazy jobs if you consider what everything is. If you go into the, like, nerd of it. Sorry, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, that was another thing that I realized. I mean, I already knew this, but this was a weird experience where I saw someone go so far right that they went left.
Yeah.
So the lumberjack, I made fun of him for being looking like a lumberjack. He came back and he said, He said, you know, you overgeneralized me, and you looked at me, and then you said that I looked like such and such thing, and it was like, you fucking cuck. Like, if this was 2014 and you were doing this, your friends would call you a pussy and tell you to drink a beer. Like, it was fascinating. This super fucking, you can't judge me. And then he said, I'm just a comic. I'm just doing stand-up. I'm just fucking around. I'm joking. And he was like, but you can't hide behind jokes. And it's like, first off, yes, I can. It's my job.
I absolutely can.
Yeah, that's what your homeboy POTUS is doing. That's all he's doing.
It's super awesome. I can say whatever I want and then go, no, it was a bit.
Yeah, I can do it. Yeah. And then he was like, well, what if I do that to you? What if I said I'm a comedian and then I say something awful? And I'm like, well, no, but I literally am a comedian. Like, that's my career. It's my literal career.
And also, here's a fun thing about the First Amendment. You're well within your right to do that. And a lot of people do. So, yeah. You're not wrong.
And I told, it was like, it was just fascinating. And it was very empathy driven. Like, I felt bad for all, even internet troll and all of his issues.
Oh,
I
felt his bad is a different thing, but it's the same. It's pain. It's like, because you got to really ask yourself, like, what? Because that's the thing. Speaking of things to hide behind, and specifically jokes, and the troll of the internet is like, and they've done several documentaries and stuff about it. They also fascinate me in a totally different way, where it's like the level of misery that you are. Where you, if you said you're miserable, they'd be like, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." And it's like, but you need your joy comes in making other people feel bad.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to, in misery, it's that misery loves company. You don't think you're doing it, but you get this joy. It's kind of like with not even incels, honestly, you could spread this to be a lot of dudes, like just salty dudes. Have you ever gone down the nice guy rabbit hole or any of that stuff?
He incels? Was an incel, in my opinion.
Oh, that bad, huh? I'd love that. I'd love to talk to that person. But it's the, when a girl, they hit a point, like it's like this point of misery, like not self, like can't return, where it's like after a certain point, it's like, I don't care that she doesn't like me. I just need her to acknowledge I exist. So I'm just gonna text or say the most horrible thing in my head. And they'll chalk it up to, I just don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't care. And they think like that's like a leaving them of like, well, I'm free. I'm not locked down like you guys to all your feelings of empathy towards women. I can say whatever I want. And then they have to acknowledge me. You bitch, you're not gonna this and that. And you're gonna suck my whatever. And then she's like, oh, you're disgusting. It's like, ha, I made you acknowledge me.
Yeah.
It's like, again, metaphors on metaphors, and I'll drop it here. It's kind of like the homeless people thing. At a certain point of being homeless, it's like, just acknowledge I'm alive. Like, because everybody's been doing the, like, I don't want to look at that so long. But they just, like, it snaps a thing, and they're just like, and it's like, because I just want to be, like, I'm a human being, and you guys are treating me like I'm a ghost. And it's like, it's a testament to, like, how much humans need interaction, and like why solitary confinement is kind of the worst version of being in prison.
Yeah. But the empathy that I feel, and the thing that I feel towards them, it's very good on a personal level. I think that's good for me, that says I really haven't been angry. I think either all of the stuff I've been doing has helped, or I'm just so beaten down and tired that I just can't be angry, but I'm not angry, really, and that's a good feeling. So I'm like, I think the empathy is a good signal of like, oh, real serious comfort in oneself, and not like, oh man, it's cool. Like, there was even a point where I was like, I said the Overlogic guy, I just want to understand, and I said, do you really genuinely just want to understand? Because right now we're going in circles. And if you genuinely want to understand, all I'm saying is my life matters. That's it. And he jumped around, yada, yada. And I said, okay, do you see what you're doing? Because right now you don't seem like you want to understand. Then it got to the point where I was like, all right, man, well, you're probably right. Let's just move on to something else. Yeah. I was talking about like drugs or whatever. And then he kept talking about it. And I was like, I don't know what to, I just said you were right. I don't know what to tell you. Like, sorry.
It's a very, so there, to me, and again, this is all theory because I haven't tested it for real.
Oh, there's one more thing when you're done.
Okay, then I'll make this super fast. There's two ways to, like, quote-unquote, fix that. The most prevalent and well-known way is therapy. Because, again, the pain stuff comes from a way deeper place than, like, where they're talking to you from. And so it's like, you're not gonna, that's always my thing with having conversations with people in bars and streets and they start to get that level of intense. It's like, we don't have enough time to get into like like what it is that that is. And even if I started to break through the surface, it would only ever get to that point. You know how like with you, I know I feel it. When somebody calls you out on something that is you, even if, again, it's like the other side of the coin of like the thing I was saying where you call out and it's funny. There's being called out on something that's wrong with you that freaking presses a button and your initial reaction is like, oomp you. Like, it's like, I don't care. Even if you're right, I'm in defense and I got to fight for me because I don't know, we don't want to change or something. So one way is therapy, but that's way too long. The second way is super theoretical. I think it's kind of the thing that you essentially were hitting on. It's like you superseded by sugarcoating it, like the medicine in the sugar. So it's like My Life Matters, that whole jam or whatever. It's like, it kind of has to be fed in the way that's like, don't take it that seriously, but also take it seriously. Don't take it that seriously. It's kind of like the media getting into your head. Like, we've been shown stuff for so long that eventually you just kind of believe it. It's kind of like that. Like, joke, 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 but, like, the jokes are going in you, and then you lock, and it's like, yeah. Okay, you were saying. You had a thought.
So the empathy thing is a good feeling on just an interpersonal level, but it continues to concern me that, like, these particular people didn't happen to be violent, and that's good.
Yes.
But the closer the election comes, the closer we get to doomsday, like, these people are going to snap. These were all people that were close to snapping, all of them. And when they do that, all of them are gun owners, all of them, and that's not good. So as much empathy as I can feel towards them, it's like, well, you are getting dangerously close to putting my life in danger. I could give a fuck what happened with your mom or your dad or your girlfriend or what, or I don't care because you're getting to a place where you're going to try to hurt me. And so now it's a frustrating feeling of like understanding like, oh, this is your issue. This doesn't have anything to do with me. But you're making this my problem now. And I don't like that. The end.
Yeah, which is fair. It when it starts to encroach on your safety specifically, it's like, yeah, I don't feel good about that. It's kind of the thing about like pedophiles, at least the ones that I've been watching with the like To Catch a Predator stuff, where they go immediately into like their childhood and I got touched. And somebody made a very good point. It's like, once you cross the line, I don't care what brought you to that line. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, again, if it comes down to your life or my life, I'm going to defend myself. At the same time, I also think, like, much in the same way you were talking about the lumberjack, it's kind of the like, and this is where, again, this is where we split. That's what the whole show is I kind of believe in that part of the lumberjack that goes full circle, that like it goes so far right that it ends up on the left, where it's like, I think you just need a better leader. I think they just need somebody who is steering the boat in a better direction, but because they don't have any other options, like it's kind of like the Conservative Party as a whole. Or actually, not even the Conservative Party. Let's extend this. Let's unroll this piece of paper. All of us. It's kind of that thing you said at the show that I went to, right? It's like, we don't have options. Yeah. We have to choose between Biden and Trump. And if you think that there are other options, I'm sorry, but factually you're wrong. You could vote for the third person. You're just acknowledging that you're not going to win. You're not going to come close to winning. You're just throwing it to maybe start to change minds and go, hey guys, here's another option. Like you're that. It's like years later, maybe that'll do something. But as of right now, we've been locked into these are our choices. And in the same way that we kind of, or not even we, I would say we, those who don't like Trump, right, are all being herded and forced to tolerate and deal with Biden. You have to vote Biden if you don't want Trump.
Yeah.
That is the option. And in that same way, the people who are rocking with Trump, they're rocking with Trump so hard because there's no one else. There's no one else for them to follow. Like, what are they? Like, Pence's backup, but even they don't like rock with him the same way they rock with Trump. Me and Dro were talking about this when it came out that he had COVID.
Yeah.
It was like, first of all, I was like, I don't want him to die like that. Like, I feel like that's the most, like, he won at that point. It's like you got out and no punishment. Like, you got the disease. That's pretty bad. It sucks. But, like, as far as, like, everything that you did on the way and, like, how you got to where you got to, like, he would die the most American. Like, no questions asked. That dude is the epitome. In the same way that everybody's like, I hate that he's the president, he is the most American president we have ever had, ever.
Yeah.
He was a billionaire, a white man who just does and says whatever he wants. And went to the top on sheer, I want it. And he just went and got it. As much as you hate the game, that's the dude. That is what America's thing is.
I add one thing to everything I agree with, except he didn't get to the top out of raw, I want it. He's not Jeff Bezos. Nepotism is an effect to that. And that, to me, is also purely American.
Okay. I'll fully give you that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I have such mixed feelings about it. Part of me is like, the irony is hilarious.
As a comedian, it's a freaking hoo-hoo. As a person, it's terrifying.
And it's also like, I don't want to wish death on this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
If I'm being honest, he has caused so many problems in my life that this, like, It's more of a, the way I describe this is more of an acknowledging the genuine feelings I have rather than celebrating them. I acknowledge that there is a piece of me that's like, fuck him. Fuck him. And then there's other piece of me that's like, don't, that's, you're going in the mud with these people. But then there's, it's such a if he dies, you're right. He dies a martyr to these people, even though, obviously, that's the most backwards logic. If he lives, well, he proved that COVID's not that big of a deal. It's like, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it's freaking winner mentality. It's like, again, it comes back to that emotion. It doesn't have to make sense. It just does. Because it's like that meta, going way back. Socrates, I think. Mm-hmm. I think, therefore, I am. Bro, he like just that. Just how many is just? It doesn't matter when you're winning. You're winning, and it's so interesting to watch that whole cycle. But I get what you're saying. It's like, yeah, it sucks either way. But that's the other meta of it. Is like, even if he does die, Hitler died too. But that didn't stop Nazis. They're like, Nazis still exist.
It's fair.
Like it did put a huge halt in it and like stop the camps part. So yes, it would help. In the like surface and like all of us making it an immediate like, yo, they're in the streets. Can we get them out of the streets? But it wouldn't stop the like thoughts.
He needs to lose. Like, he needs to lose for this to, because if he dies, then his supporters will just say, well, Biden's in because whatever. Like, he wouldn't have won if not. Right. And it's like, then the next 4 years is going to get worse. Like, man. Being present, this whole working on that has helped a lot, because every time I talk about it, it feels so heavy.
Yeah.
It's
that's because this is just my two cents about it. I think it feels so heavy in the same way that a relationship feels heavy, because that's based in the future and the past. Yeah. Being present makes you aware of what's going on in like real time, like what's directly in front of you, and it makes it easier to digest. It's easy to digest what you're doing right now is talking to me on a podcast. That's all that's happening. We're just talking about this. But if you're projecting and thinking about the future, about what it means of the things that we're talking about, like what if Trump dies? What does that cause? What if he lives? What does that cause? What if he does it? And like thinking about the future and all the mega ramifications that could come from that, that's where the heavy pressure is of the other time periods. And it's not to say, again, not to say don't do that, don't look at it, because that's obviously where a lot of other issues come in, where these things happen in the first place, because again, not paying attention to him getting voted in the first time was like, oh, silly joke, it's not that important, you know, he's fine, yeah, he's not gonna win, he's a silly reality TV show star. And then we're like, oh, okay, I guess he did, and he's doing stuff, and he's doing stuff. Like, because there was that moment where he won, and we were still kind of like, well, maybe he won't do that much damage, because there are people who are, like, actually educated and around him or like, trying to rein him in. And then you're like, oh, no, he could just fire those people and, like, just continue doing whatever he wants.
If I'm to say a positive, look at me being the yin here.
Okay, yang, but yeah.
Whatever. He has exposed, and I know that that's a, like, he has exposed just how many holes are in this country, how bad it actually is. Because we've all kind of felt like there's a lot of stuff wrong here, and he has exposed all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's a matter of, like, we need some iodine, we need mom to kiss it and make it better, we need dad to come home and talk us down, because, like, we need not fucking Biden. My God, we need somebody.
Yeah, we need a third leader, but nobody wants to be that. There's a very few group of people that want to be that, and most of them are not doing it for the right reasons. Yeah. Most of them feel like it's all a power grab, and they put it under the guise of, like, I want to help, I want to change the world. And, like, I kind of believe them. I don't know. There's sometimes I go back and forth with that whole thing where it's like the cops, like the cop version, which is the same as the politician version. There are cops that are in there genuinely to help and are wrapped up in the messed up system. There are also cops that are in it for power and like to wield that power like an invincible bat. Like from Super Smash Brothers, where you wind it up and it doesn't matter what you do, you're just out of there. Like that kind of thing. Same with politicians. I believe there are some politicians that genuinely want to help. I think there are some politicians that genuinely just like the feeling of having power, don't want that power to slip, want to keep it within either their family or at least within the lineage of like keeping the same mindsets, don't let the mindsets lead, like all that stuff. And I don't even think, again, it's like you say these things, right? And obviously conservative in and of itself has built into it traditionalism, all that stuff. But like that, those same problems permeate through both sides of the democracy coin, like democratic right leaning. There's a lot of traditionalist mentalities over there, too. A lot of stuff that needs to and can be changed. Again, one of the problems with being a politician and one of the things that Trump saw through is you could try to appeal to everybody. And I think that's where most politicians get messed up, at least now, because what another part that he showed is like, yeah, you can absolutely try to hit everybody, try to get everybody and be kind of lukewarm around the world. And hopefully enough of your lukewarmness passes and you get enough lukewarm votes to win. Or you can just point to one side and go, I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
And then just dodge any bullets from this side and then go, I'm with you guys. And they're like, finally, somebody who's outwardly repping us. And then they're like, we'll die for you, dude, because you actually aren't afraid to say you're with us. As opposed to everybody else who's playing this, I don't know, game, maybe, I don't know.
It's...
We got 9 minutes, BTW.
You know, this is going to end dour, I think. I hope you can fix it, but...
I gotcha.
It's, I guess, ultimately my feelings on it are I'm very hesitant about going back to Redlands anytime soon, especially as we get closer to the election.
Yeah.
And I'm at a loss of words at all of this. And who knows? Next episode? That's crazy. Next episode, who the fuck knows what's going to happen? We have no idea.
The fact that he caught COVID at all is kind of just in general, like, nobody saw that coming. And that's how invulnerable, like, his mentality, like, was. It's just, like, he's so that it's, like, I never considered that, like, it's going to get him. With those mentalities, it's going to get him. But, like, then it did. I was like, oh, huh.
The whole stand up, stand down, whatever shit. We forgot about that until just now.
Oh yeah, because it's the same thing he's always done. It's like, just do another. It's the celebrity cycle, TMZ. Just the next crazy thing is always the only crazy thing. Again, yeah. We also forgot that he freaking held a gun to America's head to get that wall that he got, and that happened. Like, where he shut down the government and was like, until you guys get me the wall, the government's staying shut down.
I forgot about the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Remember Covfefe?
Yes, I do remember Covfefe.
I miss Covfefe.
The one funny thing he did. the one, haha, Covfefe.
I miss the Covfefe days. I miss when we were making fun of him for that and not for a pandemic and all this shit, but... I don't have much else to say.
For telling people to drink bleach.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say about it.
I think there's a whole... I think there's somebody somewhere. I just can't imagine somebody's not doing this bit. But you have to be so okay with being the political person and being that political person that I don't want to do this to my comedy. But just doing a remembrance of Trump and just... You don't even have to tell jokes. You just run down the list of things he's done and said. It writes itself. That's like 15 minutes of material just listing what he's done since he got elected.
Remember when he got, this is going to be our clip show episode of Trump. You remember when he got into it with Kim Jong-un for a while?
Yeah, where he went over there, and then he went behind closed doors, and next thing we knew, they were best friends.
Yeah.
We're like, yo, what happened in that room?
There's been so much. I'm so tired.
He's done so many things. He has people in vans picking up other people. He has freaking... He went to a church during Black Lives Matter to hold up a Bible angrily, and then went back into a bunker, I guess.
I remember that.
He called several people fat and ugly and stupid over Twitter. He admitted to kind of sexually assaulting a woman at one point. He's evaded taxes, which is another news story that happened over the course of this week that didn't get addressed too much. That he only paid $700 in taxes. And it's like, you're a billionaire. How is that possible? And then his excuse, which is amazing, which was just, those aren't my real taxes. They're coming later. Like, my real taxes aren't the ones that the government has and released. My real taxes are somewhere else in the world. And people were like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, somewhere for sure. You have other taxes. That's cool. Like, it's so, and remember he said his daughter was hot? And he was like, if I was single, I'd sleep with my daughter. I'm telling you, man, it writes itself. That's why as a comedian, he's great material. As a person, it's not worth it. It's not. I got enough. I have enough jokes on Trump.
The documentary is going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah. The books, the documentary. That's the thing. Drew's also talking about 5 minutes. He mentioned, like, even when this is over, right, win or loss, even though, like, his stuff and stocks and all that stuff, really, obviously, a lot of people are separating. Like, they're going, like, yo, we can't touch that because that's for a specific group, and the specific group that he's playing towards don't have the money to afford his level of business. You know, like they can't afford to live in Trump Towers. Like that's not, they're not in that demographic. But the hats market, the selling the book, like the inner, our side of it, where it's like, I just got to know what was happening in those meetings. Like the amount of people he fired and they went on to write expose books about what it's like to work there and how it's just really bad. And like, he's not taking any notes from anybody or listening to anybody. It's like, holy geez, but it's an entertainment goldmine. So we keep going back to it. It really is a press on the button of human vice. It's very, again, he's a very fascinating creature. But that's today's episode, you guys. We ended on some interesting topics. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us. If you want to catch more of these episodes, you're already probably here. If you're not, comedy, Buddy System Comedy on YouTube. You can find more of the A to Z podcast. Every episode goes up there. We try to record one of these live on Instagram once a week, and we put up a new episode every Tuesday. You can find Aaron Chase at AaronChase91 on Instagram, TikTok. Yeah, I think that's it. And then the Buddy System Comedy page is where he also does his own solo podcast, ACMM, and also Night Guy and Baldy, where him and Will Henderson chop it up. And now he has Film
Favorites.
Film Favorites, which is a new podcast that you got to go check out. As for me, I'm Zero Remsen. You can find me at @Zero_anime on Instagram. Also on TikTok at @Zero_KRAnime. And you can find my YouTube page just by searching Zero Remsen. I'm the only one. I finally kicked into, like, it recognizes me in the algorithm. So that's nice. Meanwhile, thank you. We appreciate those who were actually here and appreciate those who are watching later. Thanks. Bye.